The reading is taken from John chapter 6, verses 25 to 35, which can be found on page 1070. John 6, verse 25. The heading is Jesus, the Bread of Life. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. You are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word and our thinking about it.
So on the series of Jesus' I Am sayings, today we are going to meditate on the I Am saying of "I am the bread of life." One thing we can notice in Jesus' ministry is that always there was a crowd following him. Wherever he was going, there were a good number of people around them. And when Jesus was healing Peter's mother-in-law, soon after, there was a crowd appeared in the doorstep. And on another occasion, when the friends, they felt difficult to find a way to get in, but they want their friends to be healed, so they dropped their friend before Jesus for healing. And in some other instance, when Jesus was going to heal Jairus' 12-year-old daughter, there was a lady with a menstrual disorder, and she crept in and she touched his cloak. Because the crowd was pressing in on him, he had to ask, "Who touched my clothes?" And always we can see a group of people around him. Why were they following him? What was their expectation? In the crowd, we can see people from different backgrounds. Some of them might be the regular followers, following Jesus regularly. Wherever Jesus was traveling, you can see the particular group of people following him. And some might have been the crowd followers. After seeing a crowd walking towards somewhere, without knowing what is happening, but with full of enthusiasm, they might have followed them, for it's a crowd followers. And of course, there were some religious veterans, like the Pharisees, Sadducees, and the religious leaders. And there were some observers, like Roman soldiers, observing and notifying and informing to the higher authorities what is happening around in their regime. And of course, we cannot forget the disciples, the 12 of them, were always hanging out with Jesus. They were always close to Jesus. Now, think about ourselves. How can we recognize ourselves in any of this crowd? Now, we are going to see different occasions that happened, which leads to the central theme of the story. And we are going to see how people, the crowd, responded for this individual situations or at the individual occasion. So if you see the blue one at the top, it is about the different occasions that happened, which is leading to the central theme. And the red one at the bottom is about how the crowd was responding for individual occasion. Now, our duty, when we are hearing these two, which one I am belong to? Am I in this crowd? Or am I behaving like the one after this? Or I am in all this? The choice is yours. First, let us start with the food miracle, feeding the multitude. This was one of the prominent miracles that has been recorded in all the four Gospels. Before this food miracle, Jesus did the healing miracle. So the crowd was following from the healing miracle unto this time to the food miracle. And what was the crowd's response for that? They misunderstood who Jesus was. Because John, the gospel writer, he says that after seeing his miraculous, powerful miracles like the healing miracle and the food miracle are pointing to who Jesus was. They were pointing to the divinity of Jesus, the Messiah and the prophet. But the crowd misunderstood. They want Jesus to be their king by force. Are we one among those? We are receiving blessings from God. We are experiencing miracles in and around us. And are we missing the big picture of identifying who Jesus is, rather than forcing him to be the king as a constant supplier, seeing him there as a constant source and supplying us for all our needs? Subsequently, it is followed with sea miracle. In this occasion, the audience were the disciples. After they rowed 3 to 4 miles deep into the sea, they found someone was walking towards them on the sea. What was their response? They were afraid. They were frightened. Even if we are one among those, we will be frightened as well. Would we expect anyone walking towards us on the dark late night hours on the sea? We will be frightened. So the frightening is not as serious as misunderstanding. Suddenly, if something, unexpected things happening around us, as a human instinct, we will be frightened. But what was the disciple doing after that? Once they realized it was Jesus who was walking towards them, they were willing to take him on the boat. Think about the difficulties we go through in our lives. Some scary situations. What am I going to do after that? How am I going to continue my life? All those frightening moments. But once we realized that Jesus is the one who is beside us, do we take him on the boat? Do we allow him to board with us? After the crowd reached the other side of the lake, they were asking three questions to Jesus. Like three occasions, they met and they were asking three questions. The first question was, when did you get here? The crowd was asking to Jesus, how did you come this side? Because we have been waiting on the other side for a long time. We have been watching you vigilantly, that you were not stepping into any of the boats on your own or with any other disciples. And there were no boats coming from the other side. So we were confused. How did you arrive here? So there was a question of frightening along with the surprise. How did you come here? Jesus knows everything. He knows all our inner thoughts. He knows our underlying motives. He knows our personal desires. And he knows our human strategies. So when the crowd asked, when did you get here? Jesus replied, I know why you are searching for me. I know the reason. You have been following me from the food miracle and you are aiming to fill your stomach. So you are still following me to see the miracles, what I would do here. So do not follow me for such reasons. Do not follow me for simply the physical and personal needs. Are we one among that crowd? Looking for Jesus, asking him to fulfill our materialistic needs, our physical needs, our personal needs. Give a glance at the list you have when you bring to God in prayer. How many of those are saying, I need this. I desperately need this. Lord, help me to give this. And how many of those in the list says that, thank you, Lord. I praise you, God. Or simply saying, Lord, I just surrender myself quietly in your presence. I can't ask you anymore. You know every need. So see the list and see how many of those saying this. It is not wrong to go and ask to fulfill or meet our needs. We can ask God anytime. But going to God, seeking God only for our personal needs, only for our personal benefits, is not what God is expecting from us. Because whatever the benefits we receive from God as a materialistic one, it is not going to last forever. It will spoil and it will not lead us to eternal life. That's why Jesus was emphasizing again and again throughout all the 66 books, do not seek for materialistic needs. The need will be met. I will take care. But seeking him only for that, you will lost your eternal life goal. Seek for that. A few months ago, I came to know one of our Hindu friends. She has been going through a rough patchway in her life. She had two children. She has two children. And her husband left her away. And he didn't even take any effort to contact or talk even with the children. he was temporarily separating himself from the family. The lady was going through a very difficult time, and she met me, and she was in tears, she was sharing everything. It was very hard to listen all those things. I encouraged her and I said, shall we pray together? And she agreed. We prayed together. And then I said, keep believing in Christ and ask Him fervently. He will fulfill your needs. And she said, yes, I cannot convert to Christianity, but praying to Jesus is not a problem for me. I don't know where he drew the boundary, praying to Jesus is not a problem for me, but I cannot come to Christ. Ah, okay. She is in the other side, so we need to understand. So I said, even Jesus, he did not come to this world to convert people, or he was not the one inaugurating Christianity. So it was not his aim. His aim was to transform our mind and heart to understand who Jesus is and committing ourselves and asking him. So if you are comfortable in praying, please continue doing that. But I said one thing. On this issue, you have been praying to many gods. But now onwards, keep Jesus alone there and concentrate on him, faithfully seeking him, because you don't know after you receive the benefit which God has given you. So for that sake, just concentrate on Jesus alone. And she said, okay. After a few weeks, I met her, I talked with her, prayed with her. It was going on and on. After a month, she never contacted me. I was trying. I could not get any messages from her or no phone calls from her. And I thought she must be going through very difficult time. So I asked her again, what is happening? And she said, the husband who has not even contacted the children and the family for 2 years has now started talking with the children, has started telling can I take the children out for weekend? There is an improvement. But she didn't tell me that, but she told all these things after I asked. So I said, praise God. And after that, I didn't hear anything from her. Benefit seekers. Seeking Jesus only for benefits. Seeking God, can you give me? Can you give me? Yes, if I need something, I can take any step. But after I occurred everything, I forget about him. Benefit seekers. Are we like that? Only for our personal benefit. And then, the second question the crowd asked, what must we do to do the works God requests? After Jesus replied, after Jesus explained to them that he is the Son of Man who came down to give eternal life, they were asking this question, how should we work to get that? What work should we do to get into that? Still, they did not get the point who the Son of Man is. Still, they did not understand what about the eternal life. So they were confused. They want something permanent to be happened in their life, permanent relief. And for that permanent relief, they were thinking that, what can I do? What can I do? At least they have asked now, what can I do? So Jesus knows the inner motives of this question. Because they were thinking that by working hard, they can earn the merit. Even sometimes, we, the believers, we must have a wrong notion that by doing self-effort, by doing physical hard work, by doing the ministry to God, by working in the church, we need to work together, but doing everything will take us to eternal life. Work. Jesus has already accomplished the work on the cross. There is nothing left over for us to go and complete that. He said, it is finished. Everything he has finished for us. Already it is prepared. We don't need to do any work on that. We need to do only one thing. Keep faith in him. Jesus, once he heard that question from the audience, he replied, have faith. You don't need to do any work. Have faith in me. The ABC of Christian life. I always say that ABC, even to the Sunday school children when I was working before, I asked them, what is the ABC of Christian life? Accepting Christ as our Savior. Believing that He alone can save us. No one can save us except from Him. And confessing through our mouth that He is the Lord. So this ABC is the fundamental of our faith. And all the rest of the other works, like helping others monetarily or physically, should be an outspring of that fundamental faith. Finally, they were asking another question. Asking Jesus, what sign will you give us so that we can see it and believe it? When we were singing the song, Blessed be the name of the Lord, He is rich in love and slow to anger. That's a very good thing. When we go and annoy Him again and again, if He is not rich in love and if He is quick in anger, I don't know where we would be. Seeing all these wonderful miracles, powerful miracles, feeding to the multitude with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and healing the blind Bartimaeus, and everywhere the miracle was spoken, and he was teaching for many years, they were still asking, what sign can you give us so that we can believe in you? They are expecting still the signs. And they were saying, like, our ancestors in the wilderness, they received manna from heaven. And they were comparing the manna the ancestors received in the wilderness with the multiplying the food, what Jesus did just before. They were comparing these both and they were asking, what would you give? Now, Jesus had to explain about what the manna from heaven was. Yes, it was from God the Father, definitely not from Moses as you have been thinking of for a long time. God has sent that manna from the heaven, but it is not for a spiritual nourishment, it is for the physical edibility. When you eat that manna, your stomach will be filled, but on the next day, you will feel hunger again. You will go outside and see whether the manna has fallen down, how much I can collect it, because the regulation was given. But the bread of life, what I am talking about, Jesus saying, like, I am the bread of life. I came down from heaven for you. And whoever eats my flesh and whoever drinks my blood, they will never go hungry. And he was explaining that they will live forever. The eternity is there when you receive me as your personal savior. Even after they were saying that, the Jewish people, they were asking, how can he ask us to eat his flesh? How can he say that his flesh is for us to eat? They murmured, they grumbled, and they flew away. And Jesus had to explain, the bread, the living bread, he came down from heaven to feed everyone, is the sign of bread and wine. What the Eucharist, the communion, we celebrated earlier, this service. After hearing those words from Jesus, like, eating his body as bread, drinking his blood as wine, it is confusing. Even the believers, they were confused. They could not understand that hard teaching and they flew away. They said, it is very hard for us. In the early church, After everything has come, gone, after Paul and all those canon gospels, everything been written, in the early church, the fathers, early church fathers, they regulated something in the communion service. They put a screen and only the believers are allowed to come inside to participate in the communion, in the Eucharist. And the people, those who are not believers, they call them as pagans, and they will be sitting on the other side of the curtain. When the priest is saying that, let us have the bread and wine, the symbolic representation of his body and blood, they are hearing only those words. They cannot see what is happening in the communion behind the screen. So they started propaganding everywhere, these Christians are cannibals. They could not understand the real meaning. And then the system came. The communion should be open. It should be kept before the people. And whoever believes Jesus as their own personal savior, they can come and participate in this. So this was coming after that. And this communion, the Eucharist, was celebrated in a different way in different denominations. Some denomination, they observe the sacrament as transubstantiation. That is, the bread and wine are transformed into the substance of body and blood of Christ under consecration. All theologians like Martin Luther, John Calvin, and Zwingli, they were all against this transubstantiation. They cannot agree to that. The bread and wine will be transformed into his body and blood by just giving blessing. That is not what the scripture says. So all these theologians are against transubstantiation. And then there was a particular group observing this Eucharist as consubstantiation. All Lutheran followers, even Martin Luther, he is convinced about this theology on consubstantiation. It is about the body was present in the communion and the life of Christ was received through bread and wine. That was their theology. Body was present and the life of Christ was received through bread and wine. And we Baptists, we follow Zwingli. Zwingli says, these are all the visible signs of the invisible grace. Matthew 26:26, it says that this is my body. And Zwingli and the other followers, they said, this is my body reflects, this represents my body. This symbolizes my body. This bread and wine are the symbolic representations of his body and blood. We are having it in the remembrance of Jesus crucified on the cross for our sins, and we are declaring that we will continue doing this until we see him in glory. We Baptists, we need to give hallelujah because we are aligning with the scripture. We need to know what kind of ceremonies or the sacraments we are celebrating and why the Baptists are doing in a different way. And what is the difference between the other denominations? Zwingli is a theologian. He opened this doctrine and he said, this is the way the scripture is explaining, and we are having this as a symbols of body and blood, not like the symbol is transforming into a substance or receiving life of Christ through this substance. It is good, but after this hard teaching, you know what? Only few remained, and those few were the 12 disciples of Jesus. The crowd followed from the food miracle, seeing the feeding him multitude, making him as a constant source as the king forever, so that we can get the supply from him, seeing him as a supplier. And after seeing the sea miracle, though they are scared, but they are fine because they understand that Jesus is with us and we get along and we move forward. And seeking God only for personal motives. Is that what God asked us? Yes, we can ask for our needs, but is that the only thing we come before God? Work or faith? Think about that. For any worldly things, we need to work hard. Even when we need to go and buy a bread from Sainsbury's, we need to work hard. But for the permanent and eternal life, we don't need to do any work. The work is already done. It is accomplished. Faith alone is enough. Between manna and the bread of life, it is good that we are the new covenant and New Testament people. We received Christ as the bread of our life. And we know what he represents in that. The bread we have in the communion, the bread we have in celebrating the Eucharist, we proclaim always, Lord, we are one in Christ and we serve one God. Amen.